I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Jesus, when he was ministering on the earth, he commented on people's faith in comparative levels. He would say, how is it that you have no faith? And sometimes he would say, oh, ye of little faith. And then a couple of times he said, what great faith. So faith is not something that's just static and stays the same. We're talking about faith in God. It grows if it's fed and used. It wanes if it's not fed and not used. And so Faith School addresses this. This is all of us need to hear and see the good things that God has said to us with the anointing on the Word quickening us. And then once we see and hear it, there'll be opportunities in your daily life to act on it, yes, to do it. And if that is a way of life for us, hearing, feeding, and you know, you should go to a good church where you get fed well. And then things like this are supplemental. But then don't pass up opportunities to use your faith.
That's right.
Huh? Yes. What do you mean? Well, things will come up and you'll be quickened in your spirit. Well, don't just give up on that. Believe God. Right?
Right?
Don't just think you can't have one. Believe God for one.
Yes.
Even if you can't see how it could happen. And it is a choice at every one of these junctures. You can just be passive and actually be spiritually lazy. Mm-hmm. And just go, well, you know, it is what it is. And yeah, that's not living by faith. Right?
Right?
Listen to the Holy Spirit. And when He prompts you, you know, you've been coming over here to Faith School now for days, getting all gassed up,
yeah,
right? So when the time comes, put the pedal down, right?
Yes.
And burn some of this gas, all right? Father, we thank you so much for being so good to us and so kind and gracious to us. We ask you together for eyes and ears and heart that can see, hear, and understand and perceive and receive, an utterance and anointing, revelation, direction, answers for now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're saying, giving reasons, 30 of them from the Scriptures, why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. We're saying that's not just my opinion or a random thought. We're saying we see it in the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Scores and scores of Scriptures and words and phrases and revelation of Word that prove this beyond any question. Say it out loud because you choose to believe it. Say, abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always.
Is always.
God's will.
God's will.
For us all.
For us all.
Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always.
Is always.
God's will.
God's will.
For me.
For me.
Every day.
Every day.
Every week.
Every week.
Right?
Yes.
Rest of my life.
Rest of my life.
And so we're not just saying, you know, that's what we think. We're saying this proves it, and this proves it, and this proves it. We started off by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And now we're down to reason number 16 in our study. If you haven't been with us and want to get the previous lessons, they're available if you just go online to faithschool.org. And there's no cost, no charge, no commitment required. They're just there waiting on you, right? And you can come and get caught up with the rest of us, faithschool.org. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter first. Deuteronomy 8, we've been talking about the promised land. Number 16 in our study is the promised land. And what we have seen is that God said, He said, I espied for you, I chose for you, I prepared for you a good land. And He promised it to Abraham and his descendants centuries before the accounts we're reading about here, and His word is forever. And He called the land, the promised land, the land that He had promised, He called it the good land. He called it the pleasant land. That word's also translated delightful land. The good land, the land that flows with milk and honey. Have you heard that phrase before?
Yes.
That's because you'll find it and just in the passages we've been looking at, it's about a dozen times. And then there are, of course, more references than that to the land, but a lot more. But specifically, He just keeps saying, the land that flows with milk and honey. Does that sound like poverty?
No.
Does that sound like lack?
No.
No. Well, that's God's will for His people was this. When did it change? Why would it change for us? God doesn't change. Mm-hmm. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. And so His will does not change. He hadn't changed His mind about any of these things. Man's religion changes. And people get ideas in their mind. And one of the reasons why it's so popular that this idea of a connection between sparseness, minimalism, and spirituality, and holiness is because it's something men can do. Can you see that?
Yes.
And then men and women, human beings, can take credit for, you know, living such a Spartan life and denying themselves and developing their own spiritual awareness and junk. Junk.
Yes, sir.
It's all by grace.
Yes.
And grace is a gift.
Yes, it is.
No. What we've been seeing, though, was a progression from here to here to here. And we see that in the scriptures. Romans talks about that in the gospel, there's revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Everybody say, from faith to faith. And this faith was connected to revelation. He said, it's revealed from faith to faith. And we saw that they started in Egypt. And Egypt was no faith.
Yes.
And no victory.
Yeah.
And no freedom. Mm-hmm. They were in total bondage. Complete servitude. And that's a type of being lost. Mm-hmm. Being a servant and a slave to sin. Yeah. Being in spiritual death. Being separated from God. But they cried out to God, and in His mercy, He sent a deliverer, hallelujah, and brought them out with a mighty hand, stretched out arm, signs, wonders, miracles. And He brought them out of Egypt, delivered from all the shackles and chains and bondage, delivered. They're not owned by somebody else anymore. And He also healed them. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. And He also put money in their pockets. He brought them out with silver and with gold. What's this a type of? It's a type of getting saved today. It's a type of getting born again. And when you're born again, you know, your needs being met and provision and these kind of things and healing, not something you have to work for or have to earn. It's bought. It's paid for. It's a free gift. Hallelujah. Now that you're in the family, it's some of the benefits. Right? Benefits. Being in the family. Jesus called healing the children's bread. So, they came out, but they had a ways to go, a way to get to the promised land that God had for them. They came through the wilderness. And now in the wilderness, he required some faith and obedience out of them. And you can see this is just perfect because he wants them to learn how to listen to him and obey him and let him work in their life, including miraculous things, before they get in the middle of facing giants.
Yes.
Can you see this?
Yes.
In some lessons that are really quite elementary.
Yeah.
Right? And it won't just kill you if you mess up on it on the spot.
Yes.
Before you get to the point where you're facing 10-foot warriors, right? With iron and steel weapons, he's getting them ready to go in and take, because he can take care of anything if you'll listen to him. If you won't, gets into a whole nother thing. And so what were the lessons? Trust me. Right? Listen to me. Obey me. Go this way. Quit griping. Right? Huh? And okay, go out, pick up the bread. Okay, don't save it. And what'd they do? They saved it. And then he says, I'm going to give you twice on the sixth day. Save it. But don't go out on the Sabbath. What'd they do?
They went out on the
Sabbath. And see, we laugh when we say it, but it ain't funny. Because this will get you killed facing giants. Huh? This will get you killed facing giants. And they didn't understand everything that was going to happen. And what? Because, I mean, one of the first cities that was conquered after all of this was Jericho. Hmm? And you remember how they conquered Jericho? How'd they conquer Jericho? Not what you would learn in battle strategy school. Huh? This was not in any of the courses, learning battle strategies. Mm-mm. No. What am I talking about? What's the lesson? Okay. Go out to the wall. Put the singers in the front. Really? Yeah. Boy, the musicians had to be brave, didn't they? They're on the front line. Not with a sword, with a harp. Zing! And you got to walk around. One time. All right, that's it. Go back to camp. See, what's all this about? Trusting God. Listening and obeying. Everybody said out loud, hear
and obey.
Hear
and obey.
That's another way of saying trust.
Yes.
That's another way of saying faith. That's what faith is.
Yes.
Hear, believe it, obey.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Then he'd say, all right, tomorrow, go out. Blow the horns, go around the wall, go back. And then the last day, go around it seven times. Blow the horns. And they were blowing the horns the whole time. And it was unnerving the people inside, all these loud horns. And God was doing something, getting ready to shake that thing. And he said, all right, the seventh time on that day, shout, shout, I mean shout. And boy, they shouted and the roar went up and things began to tremble and shake. And the walls began to crumble and just went straight down flat. And he said, oh, what you waiting on? Go get your city. So they went up and got their city. What am I saying? Obedience. God is going to show them every one of these battles. He's going to show them how to win it supernaturally.
Yes. Glory to God. Yes.
Because he had already told them, every one of those seven nations that were occupying the land God said was theirs, he said every one of them is greater and mightier than you.
Yes.
God said it.
Yeah.
Every one of those is greater and mightier than you. So naturally speaking, they didn't have a chance. Because you got to remember too, they're not a trained army.
Right.
They're a bunch of former slaves. Right? They're not trained in tactics or handling a weapon or none of that. But they got somebody with them. Right? If they'll listen. And that was the plan. God knew, I got this. He already knew exactly what he's going to do if you listen. So the training began when he started dealing with them to bring them out of Egypt. And on every juncture, it was training. Hear me. Trust me, do it. And if you will, then he'll walk you through every battle. He'll get you to the promised land. Hallelujah. He'll get you to something that exceeds your desires and dreams. But you'll have to overcome fear. You'll have to overcome your own head. Because your head will go, well, yeah, but why? I don't understand. How's this going to help me? You know, marching around and blowing a horn. It's not going to win you a battle. Yes, it can. If God's involved, yes, it can. This is how God functions. He does things in ways that men have not thought of. And he does things that wouldn't make sense to your head sometimes. But it does make sense if you saw the whole picture. So in Deuteronomy 8, if you'd look again, verse 1, he had said all the commandments that I command you this day that you observe to do them. For why? He even tells you why he's telling you to do it. So you can live. So you can multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware to your fathers. Just the basic trust that if God's telling me to do something, it's good for me.
Yes.
That is huge. Just that one thing, that God is a good God. He cares about me, and he's looking out for me. He's got my best interest at heart and mind. And even though it looks like I shouldn't go that way to go this way, trust him. Trust him. He went on to say, you will remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness. The way to get to the promised land was through the wilderness and learning lessons of faith and obedience. And like we said, Egypt was one level, and it was no faith. And then the wilderness is out of not enough into just enough, but it requires faith, right?
Yes.
But simple things don't save it. Right?
Right?
Don't go out to gather it on the Sabbath day. Simple things that are really important. And from the time we're born again, the Lord has us on this path, this way of living and walking by faith. And the most important thing you can learn in life is how to commune with God, how to hear from Him, and then make the choice to step out and obey it. And do it. That, and he'll start with the simplest of lessons. Easy. Huh? And if you make a mistake, or for whatever reason you give in to fear or confusion or whatever, it's not the end. God still loves you. But repent. Immediately. Go, Lord, I'm sorry. I should have listened to you. Have you ever heard people say after something went wrong, I knew I shouldn't have done it. Well, if you knew, why didn't you do? We've all been there. We've all been there. But that's exactly what I'm talking about, How did you know? Where did that come from? Well, learn to listen.
Yes.
Learn to pay attention. And not just pay attention and listen. Do.
Amen.
Act on it. And that's what he went on to say. He said, the Lord was proving you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no. He humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither your fathers knew, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. These are the lessons to learn. From no faith to faith for just enough. And he wants to get you to the place where you are more than enough.
Hallelujah.
The land of Canaan, the promised land. And he talks about that in verse 7. For the Lord your God brings you into a good land. Somebody say, the Lord's bringing me.
Into a good place.
He said, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. Now, this was foreign to them. They were born in Egypt. And that's what they didn't experience that in Egypt. If you weren't right by the river, it was desert. And then they come out of there into only desert. What he's talking about sounds like heaven to them. And it was a taste of heaven. He said, a land of brooks of water, fountains, and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. Water just bubbling up out of the ground. Now for a desert man, this is a dream.
Yeah.
Is that right? This is a dream. And of course, if you got plenty of good water, plenty of good soil, you can grow stuff. He said, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. Now, the Lord used to care about those things. Huh? When did he change? Why bring this up? Is it just to taunt us? and then say, but, you know, I want you to be broke. And it'll be a witness you won't understand. But should we look longingly on the old covenant?
No.
And go, man, I wish I could have lived back there. And had me a wonderful big farm in promised land. Mm-mm. No. The scripture says we got a better covenant.
Yes.
Better covenant.
Yes.
With a better mediator.
Yes.
Established on better promises.
Yes.
You know, a $50 bill is not as good as a $100 bill. A $100 bill is better. You know why? It's got the 50 in it. Plus, we did not lose anything by the coming of Jesus. No, we didn't lose any good thing. We got everything they ever had in the Old Testament. Plus, we got the new birth. Plus, we got the indwelling spirit living in us. Hallelujah. Plus, we got the name of Jesus. Plus. No, we don't have to look and say, man, wouldn't it have been great to live back then? No. You know, even Jesus' disciples, which they were still, the new birth hadn't become available yet. He told them right before he left, he said, it's better for you.
Yeah.
That I go away. Didn't he say that?
Yes.
Well, then if they were going to lose all these blessings, it wouldn't have been better in every degree, in every way. No. This was the will of God. This is the will of God.
Yes.
It will always be the will
yes.
of God.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What? Good land.
Yes.
Brooks of water. Fountains. Mm. Depths.
Yes.
Spring out of the valleys
yes.
and hills. Wheat, barley, vines, figs, pomegranates, You getting hungry?
Yeah.
And a land of oil, olive, and honey. Now get this. Verse 9, you ought to mark it, you ought to underline it. A land wherein you shall eat bread without scarceness. Oh, somebody say without scarceness.
Without scarceness.
If there is no scarceness, what does that mean? You've got more than enough. More than enough. Without scarceness, you shall not lack anything in it.
Yes.
Glory to God. The Lord used to want His people living in circumstances where there was no lack. No scarceness of any good thing but abundance. Is that, what's that a type of? It's a type of, not heaven, because there were giants to fight and battles to win. It's a type of the fullness of the blessings. The Scripture says in the New Testament, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And He said, seek first the kingdom of God and what? All these things. And He had referred to material things. What you wear, what you eat. Say, all these things will be added to you. And He went on to say, be of good cheer, little children. It's My Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
And if He didn't withhold Jesus from us, what's a few grapes and figs and right? I mean, right? No, if He was ever going to say this is too much to ask, it would have been Jesus. But in giving Him, that's what Romans 8 says, if He didn't spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Including every natural provision that's good. Somebody say, I believe it.
I believe it.
Our time's up again, so say it like we do. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith. Say it again. I am strong in faith for provision. Huh? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. Well, come back tomorrow. There's more to see. See you soon in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.